You're listening to the Humans of DevOps podcast, a podcast focused on advancing the humans of DevOps through skills, knowledge, ideas, and learning, or the SKIL framework.
It is IT service management. You know, I talk about this all the time. It is about incident management, change management, service level management, you know, observability, event management. And so it is a kind of a cool version of ITSM, more lightweight than perhaps some of the other practices. But some of the core principles that were brought forth in SRE are time to make tomorrow better than today. So in a pure world, an SRE is supposed to spend about 50% of their time, you know, reacting to, you know, whatever's happening, and 50% of their time reducing toil.
Hello, welcome. This is my first Humans of DevOps podcast, and I'm excited to have the boss lady with me today, Jane Grohl. Hello, Jane. How are you?
Hello, Evelyn. How are you? And thank you so much for taking on this new role as host and facilitator for the Humans of DevOps podcast. I'm really excited to be here with you today.
And I'm excited to take it on because as I already shared with you, there's tons of things we can talk about. But today we're actually here to talk about a most exciting topic, which is site reliability engineering. We did a recent report where, you know, we had tons of responses. So first question, site reliability, why is that such a big topic today?
So, you know, you and I both come from IT ops. And so I think, and of course, share your perspective on that. But it's very gratifying to see site reliability engineering really giving IT ops kind of a new lens or a new perspective or even a new role, right? An official role that organizations are hiring and a set of practices that organizations can embrace. I think it puts IT ops, you know, we talk a lot about shift left. In DevOps, it really shifts IT ops left, so far left that, you know, according to Google's definition, SRE is what happens when you take a software engineer to help design and be part of IT operations, right? So it's a really exciting set of practices. Is there a lot of new in SRE? Well, maybe, maybe not. I mean, I always think of it as, you know, kind of a new modern approach to IT service management. But I think there's just an underlying human excitement. And I said, you and I have been watching it, you know, trending for a while with the upskilling report. And I think it's extra exciting today that SRE is crossed the chasm, right? I mean, we saw that in the report that it crossed the chasm and now enterprises are starting to embrace it. What about your excitement? I said, we both, you know, we've known each other a long time. We've kind of watched this rise together.
Yeah, so as you said, I've been in IT ops, also started out my career there in 94. And my first day on the job was called a programmer by somebody in the business line. Of course, I thought I was, at that time, programmer wasn't a great, at that time, it was not a great term. But I have to say, it was at that time already a fun job. I had to do and could do a lot of things. So maybe both of us already were SREs without even knowing it then. But again, exciting for what reasons? What are some of the things we found? If you wanna go dive into, why is it exciting? What's changing? Why is everybody talking about it? And why did we do the research?
Well, I think the big change is looking at operations as an engineering discipline. And so when we look at software engineering, we look at DevOps engineering, right? We look at a lot of the things that that kind of have this engineering mentality. IT operations was, you know, always on the sidelines, right? You know, you and I stood with the help desk and everyone else, you know, with our hands up against the fence waiting for something to be thrown over. But we really weren't part of the solution. We were there to fix the problems. And so I think that SRE kind of respun that, right? It respun that in a way, starting with Google, but then new practices grafting on top of it. So that led us to think about this report. Because, you know, you and I have been doing as part of DevOps Institute's upskilling report for 4 years. And one of the things we've seen is this, you know, this trend with SRE. And then given our experience with IT operations, and then, you know, kind of this new excitement about this role of site reliability engineer, it made sense for you and I to say, okay, let's take an agnostic approach and let's go back to the community like we do with the upskilling report and say, tell us, what's happening in the real world with this set of practices? Is it the same? Is it, you know, the same as other frameworks? What are organizations doing? How do you feel about the role, and what kind of benefits or activities are you executing? And so I was excited because I came to you and said, hey, can we do this? And you went, sure. And then we were even fortunate to get, you know, Sumo Logic and Stack State and Sedai to help underwrite it. So yeah, it's a passion project for sure, I think, for you and for I, right?
Yeah. So at first, you know, I thought, going down into the research and crafting the survey questions, I was really focusing more on the practices and the automation and, of course, the adoption and the different team topologies. And then when we talked it over with the sponsors, we realized there was also a change in behavior. And we wanted to tickle out that potential opportunity for people to get excited about something different. Maybe you can talk a little bit about that from a career perspective, because both of us have been, you know, coaches, we've been leaders, we've been in IT ops, you've done ITSM, I've been an analyst, I've had lots of conversations with people who are just kind of like, okay, yeah, this is my job, I go in the morning and I come home in the evening. But it felt to me that there was something more. Tell us a little bit. I know you see it in the research, and I know you like that tickle as well. What's your thought around that?
So the first thing that struck me about SRE, and I had the opportunity to go to a very early SRE con, right, where there was still discussion, and it was still very much something that was very Google specific. So technology companies were looking at, you know, how do we replicate what was in the books? But there's an underlying excitement or dynamic that is baked into SRE, because it looks at some things that maybe in the past have been a little bit heavier or more disconnected, like change management is a great example of that. You know, for years and years and years, organizations have struggled with, how do we manage changes? How do we control changes? Same thing with service level objectives, right? What is a service level? Is it how we, you know, fix something when it's broken, or is it actually maintaining a level of reliability? And then you add on top of that the fact that in the early days of DevOps, there was a lot of talk about NoOps. Now, the intent of NoOps was more automation, which is also baked into SRE. But, you know, as an IT ops person, as a systems administrator, as perhaps a role that wasn't considered part of the cool kids club, right? NoOps kind of spoke to no job, no respect, right? And now you spin around and now you've got SRE, which is very much a cool job, but also there's a very human element that's baked into SRE as well. It is IT service management. You know, I talk about this all the time. It is about incident management, change management, service level management, you know, observability, event management. And so it is a kind of a cool version of ITSM, more lightweight than perhaps some of the other practices. But some of the core principles that were brought forth in SRE are time to make tomorrow better than today. So in a pure world, an SRE is supposed to spend about 50% of their time, you know, reacting to, you know, whatever's happening, and 50% of their time reducing toil, right? So looking at technical debt, looking at automation, looking at some of the things that have just been dragging IT for a very, very long time. SRE says, hey, take some time, learn, right? Shadow, share, and let's look at ways to reduce that manual, redundant work that nobody likes to do, right? But there's automation that will do it for you, right? But you've got to be able to have that kind of innovation and the proactiveness. So there's a lot of principles that are baked into SRE that are outside just how do we manage our infrastructure, how do you handle level two, that are very human. And I think that may be something that's contributing. And we saw in the report that people said they were more excited about their roles, that they were being paid better, that they were more engaged in you know, the practices. I mean, you're more familiar with the responses than I am. What did you see in terms of, like, did you feel an excitement in the data?
Yeah, a couple of things, which when you were talking about service management and the excitement, one is the topic of collaboration always seemed to, everybody always talks about, you know, DevOps, we need to be better collaborators and collaboration and knowledge management. But what we found in the report is, first, knowledge management was one of those things where SREs actually are paid to capture their knowledge and shift it left, so that others upstream or even right downstream can actually leverage to improve. So your job is becoming somebody who, on a proactive, and while you're reacting at a proactive level, insert your knowledge so the next time somebody knows a better way of doing things while you actually do that. That is fantastic. So while we're still reacting to some things because we can't fix it all, we can be proactive. I think that was most important to me, being that collaborator. And if somebody asks me what should I be, what my skills need to be in an SRE? Well, you have to be, like you said, an engineer. You have to know data modeling, process modeling. You need to be in analytics. You need to know software development lifecycle. You have to have some knowledge about all these tech things, but you also need to be able to understand where you can actually allow the toil to be reduced. Where can you actually help to make the biggest difference to the developers, to testers, to customers, to product line owners, to all these internal and external customers? And to me, as an extrovert, I am, unfortunately, some people think I may be too extrovert. That's the beauty of this job. You get to talk to people, you get to collaborate, you get to work on multiple projects while you actually fix things and you actually can see an outcome. And that was reflected in being valued as a team member, because as I remember back in my time, IT operations, the only time I think I was really valued was when I carried the pager. You know, I lived close to the factory and I could actually drive in, you know, whatever, 10 minutes, I was at the data center. So that excitement, I think, that collaboration gives excitement and allows you to become much more of a valuable member than you were maybe in the past in an IT ops job.
The tools we use as a team have a direct influence on how we work together and the success we create. We built Range with that in mind. By balancing asynchronous check-ins and real-time collaboration, Range helps remote and hybrid dev teams build alignment and put time back on the calendar. Range connects dozens of apps like Jira and GitHub in one place so everyone can share progress and updates on work, making standups more focused and engaging for everyone. Visit userange.com/devops to learn more and try Range free.
You know, and it's funny you say that, because I think one of the areas of SRE that really shows how important collaboration is incident management. So in your experience, in my experience, right, an incident occurs, everybody goes, not my fault, right? You spend half your time trying to figure out what changed because it hasn't been captured or documented anywhere. And it becomes this like hot potato of a ticket in an ITSM system being passed around according to some escalation path, and you have 15 minutes to get it and 2 hours to fix it or whatever. And it becomes a follow the pointing finger. Right. So like, you know, it's very non-collaborative. In SRE, there's a couple of things I think that really showcase that collaboration. First of all, there's an incident command system, right, where it isn't just pass around a ticket, but there's a collaborative opportunity to figure out what changed, because that's usually the root cause of an incident. What changed? How do we fix it? Who can we get involved? And instead of playing, you know, pass the ticket around, it becomes a collaborative event. The other side of it I thought was really interesting is if there's a breach, if the service level objectives are breached because of an incident, all innovative work stops, right? All new work stops until they figure out what caused the breach. Now, for a business, that could be very disruptive. So who wants a breach? Nobody, right? One of the disappointing parts, I think, that we found in the survey was that service level objectives were not necessarily the first thing that organizations did. We saw that in ITIL as well, where service level management was later. Hopefully we can flip the model on that. But it shows a collaborative spirit that instead of just pointing out it wasn't me or it was you, and we follow that pointing finger, that there is an effort to work together and to solve problems together. And hopefully that, first of all, transfers knowledge, but also helps to reduce toil, because in order to reduce toil or technical debt, you first have to accept that it's there.
Yeah. Right?
And so, you know, so I think there's some pieces of that. What do you think about that SLO piece? Why do you think that's a struggle?
Yeah, I think the challenge of IT has always been really defining what it is they are delivering from an outcome perspective, and the conversation between those who are creating it or those who are fixing it and those who are operating it and those who are actually consuming it, be it at the employee level, a systems of records or a system of engagements at the customer level, those conversations are very, very difficult to have. And then put that into some kind of a perspective. I remember one conversation at my job at Forrester, where a gentleman was asking me to help him move from a 99.4 nines, right, 99.9999 availability to 5 nines. And so, of course, as an analyst, my question was, why would you want to do that? And he had no answer. He really didn't have an answer. So we actually calculated for him. He just thought that was the right thing to do. We then calculated that what it would cost for him to actually do that. And he was like, oh my gosh, I don't think my business will fund that. So, right, the conversation of having a service level objective, which is tied to an SLA and is defined through SLIs, becomes difficult to define. And as we are in this digital world, as things are, customer experience and employee experience is like the utmost goal of everybody. How is that defined? What's the benchmark? How do I capture that? And I think that's the challenge. There's plenty of more work to do to understand how and what. And I think it's really a matter of bringing people together across the value stream, looking at from the outside in, what is it we want to do versus what we in IT think we should be doing.
Absolutely. And you know, the other thing about SRE that I find particularly fascinating is while there's a series of books that were published by Google, that isn't necessarily the, you know, the body of knowledge or the prescriptive guidance, or it isn't religious, right? I always say some of these frameworks became religious. And so now we've grafted other things into this umbrella of SRE, like observability or chaos engineering, right? Things that would have existed outside of it and could have been part of framework wars, right? But now, you know, this whole concept of IT operations under site reliability or systems reliability engineering, now graphs other practices. So what are you seeing in that direction? I think because, again, as a human, that gives me new opportunities to collaborate, gives me new things to learn, like observability in particular, I think has just really risen as a set of practices that are considered part of SRE.
Yeah, so on the people side, if I think of it from people process technology, from a people side, I think individuals who are really looking for a new career, this is a great way to get into engineering. If you are an operations professional, get yourself some upskilling and move. That's one thing. From a leadership perspective, I think having the perspective to look at those people you have in your team and give them the chance to maybe shift to a role like that is another thing. And then maybe from an organizational perspective that's still around people, maybe we need to think about how we organize our teams a little bit different. From a process perspective, all these things we mentioned, you know, knowledge management, incident management, configuration management, right? The evil CMDBA, the CMDB, yes or no, all change management, all these things will become more natural. And then from a technology perspective, everybody wants to go to the cloud. We know we have to go to the cloud. Organizations are shifting, but there is opportunities as well to become a kind of a stack person around the cloud. Now, one thing I want to make sure everybody knows, this SOV is not just for companies who are in the cloud or going to the cloud. We see a lot of organizations who have very mixed and hybrid environments who are applying SRE. And even in the mainframe, there isn't really a perfect technology stack for adopting SRE. SRE is more of how and what you do rather than around a specific technology. So let me ask you a question, Jane.
Okay.
What about next year? What's your prediction for next year? And I hope we will do the research again, and we'll look forward to, of course, do it in the same cadence. We usually do our survey around the November, September timeframe, and then, in May, and then we publish around July. So any predictions for next year?
Yeah, I think SRE is going to continue to be adopted by organizations. I think that, you know, if we look at kind of the evolution of practices, starting with Agile, which is what, 20 years ago now, over 20 years ago, and you know, kind of the scaling of Agile, and then DevOps, which is 11, 12 years ago, and looking at how do we shift left and how do we, you know, adopt more automation and the human collaboration, it feels like SRE is that third piece of the puzzle. And I think that organizations will start to see, and there'll be more case studies that are released. Of course, our report will do every year. And I think there'll be a migration, because the digital first world, which we're moving into, and we got pushed into maybe a little faster than we thought we would. You're right. You don't have to be in the cloud to adopt SRE practices, right? It's just about good practices in IT operations. But I think also it's going to break some of the barriers that we've seen with, say, IT service management that have always been, there's some really great guidance in IT service management, but there's always been a disconnect, say, between those that are pre-production and those that are post-production. And SRE seems to break down those walls. I think that the job, we're going to see more and more people really start to move into those roles, regardless of what their history was, whether they came from ops or they came from dev, right? So I see this trending faster, because the definition of IT operations is no longer no ops. We called it new ops 5 years ago. And I think SRE is really new ops. And it will build very, very rapidly, probably more rapidly than Agile or DevOps. What do you think? What do you see next year?
Yeah, I agree, absolutely agree. And I'm a little bit disappointed in us in the analyst community at the time that we did not come up with that term site reliability engineering, and we talked about new ops. But yes, I think it gives a complete new career path and allows for an engineering path for young folks to get into. The millennials of today, as we know, they're very different. I have two at home. They don't have IT careers, but I do see how they click and how they work. So for them, I think that's going to be a great opportunity. All right. Well, for anybody listening in, Jane, thank you. This was fantastic. Appreciate your time. We have a report. Anybody listening in, if you are a fantastic case study on SRE, reach out. If you need some ideas on how to upskill, reach out. You know where we are. The report can be found on the devopsinstitute.com website. If you have questions, comments, we are happy to. And Jane, great. Thank you. This was a very easy first podcast for me. Thank you for making it so easy to transition into this role. Have a great day, and thank you, everybody.
Thanks, Evelyn. Thanks, everyone.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Humans of DevOps podcast. Don't forget to join our global community to get access to even more great resources like this. Until next time, remember, you are part of something bigger than yourself. You belong.